Tonight we're beginning with the eighth verse of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians in your Bible. I'm glad to see you. You brought your Bible. Read along with us. Now, we don't profess to know everything or even half of the things taught in here. But we just take one step at a time, just so much, and go along. And then, like I told you before, we can go back over these studies and get more and more from them. The Scriptures you can never drain the Scriptures. They'll never grow dry. There's always a well there you can keep drinking from the Word of God. A well, just drinking from it. Well, you'll never reach the bottom. Let's begin reading again from the first verse of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words, which means words of refined words or smooth words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, talking about the grown, those who have grown in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not talking about the one that's sinless, but those who have, you might say, aged in grace. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us from God. Now those gracious scriptures there, and there's much to be learned from them and understood. But all of this has been prepared for our glory, like the Apostle Paul tells us, and it was done before the world. Many of the hidden things that we didn't understand about. Do you know the Bible is a mystery? The Bible is a mystery hidden from the natural man. The natural mind. It is a mystery. And that's the reason why the natural man receiveth not the things of God, as you'll find out in that 14th verse of that chapter. Because they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And if you go back to that first chapter, in that 18th verse, you'll find where the Apostle Paul declared for the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness. which means that it's a great mystery to them. It is. It's a mystery. That's the reason why people cannot understand the Bible. And if you wasn't versed in the Bible, taught by the Holy Spirit, it would set up an argument in your heart, try to convince them, but you can't do it. You cannot convince an unsaved individual whom the Spirit of God's never awakened, never troubled their heart, of that the Bible is the Word of God. And that's the reason why you and I should not argue it, debate it, question it, but just preach it. Everywhere the Apostle Paul went, he said, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's lots of things that we don't know. There's lots of things I do not know. But if we know Christ, then that's the message. That's the message that God's given to the church. The message of salvation. That's the great commission God gave, the Lord Jesus Christ gave to His disciples. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And the gospel is the message of the church and nothing else. Just the message. And everywhere the Apostle Paul went, he preached Christ. He preached Jesus everywhere. He wouldn't let them alone. Preach Christ. So let us continue to preach Him. Magnify His name. Now in verse 8 of that second chapter you find, which none of the princes of this world knew. What didn't they know? What is it they did not know? The wisdom of God. They did not know it. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto the believer's glory. Now, it's not everyone who believes the Bible. The Bible is written for believers. The Bible is written to those that believe. A person will tell me, well, I don't believe the Bible. Well, it's not written for him. Not unless God has other designs for him. But as far as at the time that he expresses such unbelief, well, it wasn't written for him. The Bible is unquestionable. It's there to believe and not to argue, not to debate, not to question it, not to find fault with it, but to believe it. Come as a little child, and just God will give you such faith like a little child just to believe the Scriptures. And that's why it doesn't take the natural intelligence to believe the Bible, but just as a child, come to it with an open heart and an open mind, and God will give you faith as a child. Because unless we become as little children, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. But if we come with all of our preconceived ideas and what we think it should be and interpret the way that we think it ought to be, then all of the great mysteries of the Bible are hidden from us. But He has revealed them unto us, unto babes, as the Scripture tells us, because it pleases Him. It was written for us, it all was ordained before the foundation of the world unto our glory. And the children of God are the ones who will enjoy it and who will believe it and will drink from it and get life and strength and hope and comfort from the Word of God. That's the only source God's given us to partake of. Now, but none of the princes of the world knew. They didn't know. They didn't know the wisdom of God. It was hidden from them. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If only people knew today We have a song, "If you only knew him, then you wouldn't act like you do. You wouldn't be rebellious like you do, like you are. You wouldn't be hateful like you are. If you knew Christ, if you knew the love of God, the love of the Spirit, the love of Christ, individuals wouldn't hate him. They wouldn't speak evil of him or the Word of God. They would not deny it if they only knew him." Now, if these would have known the great mysteries of God, of the gospel, and knew who he was that was in their midst, they never would have crucified him. But it was hidden. And I can tell you this, if Jesus came back to earth today, there will be a group of individuals that would crucify him all over again. Because they just don't know. They're blinded to the truth of God's Word. They will not believe. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If sinners only knew what salvation was in Christ, then they wouldn't act so contrary. If sinners only knew the joy in knowing the Lord, the truth, then they wouldn't just go on acting like they've been acting all their lives. Now, which none of the princes of the world knew. Let's look at that statement. This has reference to those men in authority in the times of our Lord, and power, men of wisdom and learning. This included the Roman governor and the guides and the rulers of the Jewish church and nation. It seemed to be the persons the apostles had reference to here. If they knew, which none of the princes of this world knew, those that were living in the time of Christ upon this earth, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, these princes include, like we just stated, the Roman governor, there was Pilate, and the guides and rulers of the Jewish church and nation, the Pharisees, the high priest, and these seem to be the persons the apostle had reference to. They were engaged in the crucifixion of the Lord of glory. Peter says in Acts 3:17, you want to note that scripture, that it was through ignorance that the Jews had put the Messiah to death. Many people do things through ignorance today. They fight the gospel because of their ignorance. They talk about God's anointed because of their ignorance. They talk like they do because they are ignorant of God's way of grace. Their ignorance arose from not understanding the prophecies. They may have knew the law and boast of the law, but like we stated this morning in the Sunday school class, what good is knowledge if you have not wisdom to discern? What good is to know the scriptures backwards and forwards if you do not have wisdom to accompany that knowledge, to discern? Their ignorance arose from not understanding the prophecies and an unwillingness. Listen to this. An unwillingness. Now, they will not to do the will of God. As many as they did then, they do it now. They just won't do the will of God. They're unwilling. And to be convinced that Jesus, the Savior, had been truly sent by God. And only the Holy Spirit can open the heart and mind to reveal such truths. For had they known it, that touched my heart in meditating upon this scripture. For had they known it, if they knew who it was that they crucified, the Son of God, Emmanuel, Jesus, the Savior. If they only knew it, or had they fully understood his character, and had seen the wisdom of his plan, his work for man's redemption, they would not have put him to death if they only knew it. They closed their eyes to God's way of salvation and were unwilling to be convinced. Away with him. We will not have him. We will not have him. And that's what men say today. Away with him. I don't want him. I will not have this man to rule over me. And there it is for you to, for individuals to believe, but they will not to believe. Now, it's not because God will not grant them the grace to believe it if they cry out against their unbelief. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. But no, they wouldn't cry like that. They just didn't want it. They refused to admit that Jesus was the Son of God. Now, men are no different today as they were then. There are many things which people would not do if they knew the wisdom of God. I didn't know it one day. Many things I did contrary to the will of God, contrary to His glory, to His holiness. I didn't know it. In my ignorance, in my stupidity. And if the Lord would have came at that time before I was saved, I would have been one in the mob that would be crying, crucify him. That's the old natural man. That's the old natural heart. That's the enmity against God. Crucify him. We don't want him. They act as they do because there are many things which people would not do if they knew the wisdom of God in the great work of redemption. They act as they do because they are blind and their understanding is darkened. Had his crucifiers known him, known who and what he was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For it was through him that this divine wisdom, which devised the plan of salvation and aimed at the glorification of believers, was made known and carried out through Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the hope and the expectation of the Jewish nation. Before his coming, they looked for him. But when he came, they rejected him. They anticipated his coming, looking for it. And I imagine at the time there were many throughout the land, the women of the land, of the Jewish nation, they were wondering if they would be the one that God would pick out to be the one that will embody the Lord Jesus Christ in their womb. And they were looking for him. The prophets talked about him, his coming. And the great deliverer shall come. And he came. But what happened? He came not like they expected him to be, to come upon the scene like a king. He came born of a humble virgin in Bethlehem, swaddling clothes in the manger. He came. They looked at him. This couldn't be the king. This couldn't be him. That's not what I'm looking for. You see, they had devised God's way of salvation according to their own schemes, according to their own plans. And that's what man does today. They will not accept God's way of salvation, but they're constantly looking and devising ways of saving mankind, and they are failing. Let me say this, the only thing that can save mankind, that can save sinners, is the gospel of a crucified, buried, risen, exalted Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul went everywhere preaching the gospel. and every one of the apostles and every God-called minister today, he's preaching the gospel. He's preaching unto men the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But unto many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Sinners will not come to Christ. They will not come to Christ. They will not believe him. For it was through him that the divine wisdom which devised the plan of salvation and aim at the glorification of believers was made known and carried out. He was the hope and the expectation of the Jewish nation. All their desires were centered in him. He was the promised deliverer who would deliver them from all of their enemies, all of their foes. Now, the expression, the Lord of glory, is a title of divinity. Now, he is the possessor of glory. He is the Lord of glory. He fills heaven. He fills the whole of heaven, the glories of heaven. He is the possessor of glory. As Psalm 24:10 kindly expresses it thus, who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Also, take these scriptures down if you want to. Acts 17:2. If you want to look at that. James 2:1. And Ephesians 1:17. Who is this Lord of glory? And we can crown him with many crowns. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of lords, King of kings. Then look at verse 9 of 2 Corinthians. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Isn't that wonderful? Now, isn't that something just to shout about, rejoice in as a child of God? It is written, I hath not seen, and hath not seen, nor ye heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, the only way that we can discover wisdom, the wisdom of God, is by revelation. Everything we receive is by revelation. We can receive nothing except it comes from him. We can know nothing. We can discern nothing of the Word of God except it cometh. We receive wisdom from the Father. Now, that's the only way we can discover wisdom. Now, the Apostle Paul quotes from Isaiah 64:4. Turn with us to Isaiah 64:4 in your Bible. Let's hear those pages flip there. I'd like to see you turn with us and read the scriptures. Then I give you some scriptures to read as you go home. It's more or less a study. Now, some of you beat me to it, didn't you? All right, 64:4. All right, let's read it. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waited for him. You see? Now, isn't that something, waiting upon the Lord? A person never learns anything when he's in a hurry. A person never gets saved if he's in a hurry. I'll never forget, across the street years ago, there was a young man there. After the service, he was in the back. And I got to talking with him. I got talking about the Lord, how gracious the Lord was. And he said, well, I sure hope that I heard him come to know him. And so I can get about my business. And I think we were holding revival services. And I told him, I said, well, young fella, God doesn't save a sinner like that. You have to take time out to get saved. You've got to take time out. God doesn't save an individual on the flight. He waits upon the Lord. You may have to wait for a while. I don't know. You may have to wait a long time. It gives examples of that in Scripture. You may have to wait, maybe not as long as some others, and maybe probably longer than others, waiting before the Lord. But it'll be worth it all. Suppose you have to wait. Suppose you waited the rest of your years upon the Lord. It's worth everything in the world, isn't it? It certainly is. Waiting upon Him. But I'll tell you one thing. As you wait upon Him, He'll never deny you. He'll not deny you the desires of your heart. You'll wait before Him. Now, some of you have been waiting a long time, and perhaps the Lord may be dealing with you. I hope He is. And after a while, the fruits of redemption will be wrought in your heart and in your life, and you'll be rejoicing in Christ. Now, things which... As we read from Isaiah, these are things which God hath prepared for those that love Him and wait for Him. Now, there are such things prepared in a future life for them, for you and I. They're much prepared for us in a future life. Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven, and I saw things that was unlawful for me to utter. He saw things that you and I would probably never see. He was caught up in the heavens. In the third heaven. And to keep him quiet, the Lord just gave him a thorn in the flesh, that he wouldn't glory in those things. But do you know, there's many things that are hidden from us from the future. There's so many things we can know. And the Lord has taught us many things. You take the mystery of the gospel. It was a hidden thing in ages gone by. But now it's been revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And we're able now to see what the Apostle Paul is relating here in the Scripture. Eye hath not seen. There was a time that the eye could not see the great truths, the great atonement before Christ came. Oh, no, the ear heard. Neither have entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And do you know? The same work that was then is the same work now. God has to prepare the heart of every individual as He did before, as He did in the days of Paul, to receive the wisdom from God, to receive the revelations. He has to prepare a soul. That's the reason why an individual, it's the greatest thing in the world to be saved. But you have to take time out to be saved. God has to prepare your heart. He's got to plant the seed there by the Spirit of God. And that seed has to grow. And He plants it, waters it by the Word of God, and that seed springs up. It springs up into salvation. And great things that were hidden from you before, the mysteries of the gospel. You see, your eye, the eye of your heart is beginning to see it and comes to see it. Now, you take the great truths of the gospel. Well, before we do, let me make this statement. There are such things prepared in the future life for every one of God's people. The things which sense cannot discover, nor can yet enter into our hearts at the present. Even the great truths of the gospel are outside of the sphere of human discovery. The great truths of the gospel. They can only be discovered by the light of revelation and as God has been pleased to reveal them. And that's what these princes and governors, if they would only known it then they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But it was hidden from them. Although they boasted the fact that they knew God. Now, there are things which God hath withheld from some and revealed to others. He'll reveal to some, withhold from others. There's a reason for it. There are reasons why God will permit, will raise some individual up to preach His word, and then let another individual sit humbly by and just learn of him. There are reasons. You know, God knows what is in the heart of every individual. He knows the pride of man. And He knows how man is subject to pride. And He'll put you in such a position, such a place that will humble you and break that pride. I was thinking just a while ago, sitting here, and my cry has always been, Lord, raise someone in the Father's ministry to help us, if it's your will. But I've got to look to the Lord to get someone, to move the heart of someone, to prepare somebody a humble heart. Not a heart that's proud, because God cannot use people who are proud. Cannot use them. They're no good. But individuals that are humble and willing to take the low place, willing to follow orders, willing to follow the commands of the Lord, the leading of God's Holy Spirit, and not running ahead of the Lord, and running ahead and always trying to dictate what they think is best. You just have to be careful in selecting individuals. And that's why I've got to look to the Lord. The Lord has to make an individual. And maybe some young man in here tonight, that God is, they're anxious for the ministry. They'd like to get into the ministry. They'd like to preach. They'd like to teach. But you'll never know how much grinding and how much burning of the old dross, how much humbling of the work of the Holy Spirit that has to take place in the heart to prepare an individual for the work of the Lord. Now, just because you see people coming out of seminaries and being put in different places of authority and leadership is no sign that that heart is humble or has a pastor's heart or a leader's heart. God has to make that individual a leader. He does it by His Spirit. He has to infuse into that individual a spirit of humility, of love, of wanting to follow Him and know more and more about the knowledge, the divine knowledge of God, and to get along with His Word. I may yet live to see someone God may raise up. I've got patience. I can wait upon the Lord, although I may see some that are anxious, and sometimes they get over anxious. But they're not willing to wait upon the Lord. Now, don't wait. Don't blame me. Don't blame the Lord. You wait upon the Lord. And if He wants you to be here, don't you worry. He'll have you here. And you wouldn't have any reason to go around trying to scheme or trying to devise methods. It's exactly what the Apostle Paul was laying down here about these princes and about these learned men, these philosophers who were going in their day to discover a new way of salvation and denying that power, the power of the cross. They would not have it. And that's the reason why God has preserved this pulpit as such and this ministry. That we speak the wisdom of God. Not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God as revealed from God, from Him. And so He withholds it from some. He reveals it to others. The things which God has held in reserve, that is, what God has appointed in the gospel for His people. Now, the apostle refers particularly to the wisdom which was revealed in the gospel, and all the provisions of mercy and happiness which the gospel makes known to the chosen people of God, such as pardon of sin. That's what the gospel makes known to God's people, the pardon of sin. Isn't that a wonderful revelation to know that I've been pardoned, forgiven? Pardon. You talk to an individual, you know, I've been pardoned of God. They're going to know what you're talking about. Well, when a criminal gets pardoned from the jailhouse, he knows what he's been pardoned from. He was a criminal. And he was getting his just dues. He was serving his time for his sins against, his crime against society. He knows why he's behind that jailhouse. And so the governor come along and hand him a pardon. He knows what he's being pardoned from. And brother, if you know the Lord this night, you know what God's pardoned you from. From the crimes, from the murder and crime that you've committed against Him. Because you and I are guilty of the death of the Son of God. And that's a charge, a first-degree charge in heaven written against, a third-degree charge in heaven written against everyone outside of Christ. It's written there. And God's charged you with it. And therefore, in the eyes of God, every unsaved individual is a criminal. And they need a pardon. But there's the gospel. There's the gospel of hope. You see? And the gospel grants sinners pardon for those who believe and trust and follow after and lay hold of life eternal in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel gives that individual a pardon. And he knows who he's been pardoned from, because the Holy Spirit opened his heart and showed him what an undone, wretched, hell-deserving sinner he is. There's pardon of sin. I know I've been pardoned, forgiven. I know that. Every individual's been saved. They know that. And that's where, because people do not know, they never learned Holy Spirit conviction. An individual who is saved, they know. They know they're saved. They know they've been pardoned. They know that they stood before God guilty one day as a transgressor of His law, a transgressor, a sinner by nature, by practice. They know they were under the judgment of God. And they know when deliverance came. That criminal, when he was released from that jail, he knew daylight when he saw it. When he came out there, a free man, and knew there wasn't any bars around him. He wasn't hemmed in anymore. He was not under the power now of the jailhouse anymore. And every individual is held by the power of Satan. But that individual is when God the Holy Spirit works in their hearts and release them from the stronghold of Satan. And he knows that he's been delivered by power and by blood. So he has a pardon. He's walking about. I've got a pardon. I've been pardoned by the courts of heaven. Oh, then you may be accused of many things down here, and they want to put you in jail and keep you there. But listen, I've got a pardon from the courts of heaven. And then there's peace that passeth understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory, that the children of God are made partakers of, and the complete and final redemption from sin and death as revealed in the gospel. My, how time's going by. I have a whole lot here, but such wisdom is beyond man's comprehension and cannot be known except by revelation from God. Now, our time is up. It's just gone by. I would I had another hour. But we'll just rest it right there, and next week we'll begin with the 10th verse. We started with the 8th and the 9th. The next week we'll begin with the 10th. Look at it. Then when you get home or during the week, You look at this verse of Scripture. Read the 10th, 11th, and 12th verses. Or read the remainder of that chapter. We're not too far from it. The end of it. And go over it. And remember some of the things that we've said tonight from God's Word. But God had revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So next week we'll begin with the 10th verse. And I'm glad that we were here tonight. You came with your Bibles. We can read together, meditate together, rejoice together, give hope, encouragement to sinners. But there's hope in Christ, no one else. Look to Him. And what a wealth of truth there is here. God's given us strength today, which I praise Him for. And may God's richest blessings rest upon you. As we prepare to go home, be careful. Let's stand. Our dear Heavenly Father, tonight we want to thank Thee for Thy presence with us. Oh, what joy there is in the presence of our God. To have Thee to smile upon us, to honor us with Thy presence. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, for the preciousness of Thy Son, for the revelation of the Gospel, the revelation of the great truths of Thy Word, and that now they're no more hidden from us, but as our Lord Jesus, You prayed to the Father, You prayed that it pleased Him because it was good in His sight, that He revealed them to such as babes. Our hearts are warm. Our hearts are tendered. Our hearts long after Thee. For every saint, for every sinner present with us tonight, throughout the missions, throughout Radio Land, Lord Jesus, oh, deal with hearts everywhere. Bless Thy Word, bless Thy people, bless the hearts of sinners. For Christ's sake, we ask it in His name. Amen. Thank you. Good night.